What did you make to get rolling tonight? You see this? It's nice. It's green.
Huh?
What would you? Oh, we made some wallets. Logan, stand up, bro. Just stand up. Let's just feast your eyes on that. All right. We might have a winner tonight. You definitely owe this. All right, we got some stuff going on. I think I have hat hair now, but do I look crazy? Can I take this off? This is so hot. If you start sweating to death, someone like pull that off of him real quick, all right? I'm going to set this down. Probably the bad place to set it, but all right. So after this, like, so the point of tonight is let's get rolling. Could I just say something in English? Let's get rolling because we're trying to get rolling again in church. We're trying to get everybody back together. And so we're doing duct tape for that. We get cinnamon rolls for that because we're rolling, right? So after this, we're going to go upstairs and hopefully I made a wallet too, Cameron. No, I didn't. I didn't make it. I can't claim it. A student made this for me a couple years back and it is a Superman wallet. Check this out. Bam! Look at that, isn't that nice? Look, it even has little spots for my credit cards. No money in it because I'm poor, but look, it's awesome, right? It's a nice little, oh no, this is special. This is special to me. So anyway, you guys can go upstairs after this and try to make something awesome. We'll judge and give a prize for the best creation. I've already heard some cool stuff. Some of y'all have some stuff going on. But here's why I say all that. Not just because we like duct tape, even though duct tape's fun, but we really do want to get rolling again. We don't want what we're doing with Jesus and your life with Christ to slow down and to come to a stop. Not even COVID should be able to stop your walk with Jesus. And us as a church, as we love each other, whether we're here in this room, which is awesome. How many of you guys, this is way better, right? Being together, right? Okay. You're goofballs. I agree. Listen, so whether we're doing this or we are like on Zoom or wherever we're doing, we shouldn't be slowing down our walk with Jesus or with each other. We shouldn't be letting anything slow that down because Christ is just too important. And so I'm pumped we get to do this tonight, to be in this situation, and God's allowing that. So that's really cool. But don't stop. When you go back to school, when you go play your sports, when you go home, don't stop. Keep living for him. He's worth it. Keep rolling with Jesus. Now, listen, obviously you've seen the news, right? Like our world's crazy, and that's part of what we've been living in for a while. Whether it's COVID or just all the chaos going on and the riots and things happening all across our country still, it's like things have got turned upside down. And people are all upset about all sorts of things. I was reading just this morning about a man who was killed unjustly. And it was the fault of another broken system, right? And they were law enforcement that came and that killed this guy. And he turned out to be innocent. And yet they went away and they were never found guilty and there were no charges pressed on him. And that guy was Jesus. And so we get really upset, we get really crazy about things happening all around us, but I want us to slow down for a minute. And just remember the thing that's most important, that Jesus was treated unfairly for you. You and I, we're the ones who are guilty that get off free. Jesus was innocent. And when the Roman government came to hang him on a cross, he had done nothing wrong. And he was treated unfairly and killed unfairly, and it was because of you and me. So even tonight, in the middle of everything that we see all around us, I want to challenge you to kind of leave that outside tonight. And let's come and talk about the reason why we're here. The reason why, I think, is what Paul's going to tell us tonight. Why you and I do church, why we do Christianity, why we talk about Jesus and read our Bible. There's a reason that you should be doing it, and it's not just to do it. There's a reason that should get you excited when you think about the name of Jesus and what he did for you. And so that's what I want us to look at just briefly. Open your Bibles with me or look on the screen. It's 1 Corinthians 15. Paul's going to lay this down for us in a very plain, clear way. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 8. It says this. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel. The gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you're being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you. Unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, although some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Get this part. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Man, Paul's stopping us tonight, and he's saying, look at that first verse. I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preach to you. You know the coolest part about my job? I get to come every week and tell you the gospel. I get to stand on this stage and tell you the most important thing that you will ever hear in your entire life. That's my job. That Jesus Christ died for you and rose again so you can have life. That's it. There's nothing more important. There is no bigger news than that. And I hope you've heard it. I hope you've done more than just hear it. I hope you've received it in your heart. Because look what Paul says. He says, I love that word remind. You know, I would remind you, brothers, of this gospel. You know how important it is that you guys are reminding each other every day? Because it's hard. It's hard to get up and to go to school and to deal with problems and, you know, like, mom and dad are saying this, and my teacher's saying that, and I got a test, and this girl, man, she broke my heart, and all this stuff's going on, right? And then slowly your eyes start to come off of Jesus, and you need a brother to come beside you and go, hey, bro, don't forget about Jesus today. Don't forget how much he loves you. Don't forget that Jesus died for you, that you have eternal life with him forever. All of a sudden my eyes come up off the world, and I start to think about Jesus, and they get fixed back on heaven, and I need that every single day. I know you do too. Can we be a youth group that reminds each other constantly? I don't care if you're texting each other or you're like DMing each other or whatever, you're sending carrier pigeons for all I know. But whatever you do, I don't care. Remind each other. Let each other know this gospel. Speak it to each other. Let it be the thing that's popping out of your mouth all the time because Jesus is that awesome. Winning at football, MICS, that's pretty awesome. Volleyball team, what? Right? But you know what's even more awesome, as cool as that is? Jesus. And that's not Sunday school to say. Because volleyball and football never gave you eternal life, but Jesus did. It's awesome to talk about Jesus. Remind each other that all the time. So Paul's reminding us. Look what he says next. He says, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you're being saved. There's three things he wants you to know right here, all right? So don't miss them. He said the first thing is, in which you received. You know, a lot of people hear the gospel and they're like, that's a sick story. We talked about this morning a little bit. We hear the story and we're like, man, that is a really cool story about Jesus. This guy sounds like a hero. He did some cool stuff. A dude died for everybody. God became flesh and then died and then rose again. That's an awesome story. And we love the story. But that's where it stops. We get excited enough about a story to maybe to raise our hand and say some prayer thing that we don't understand, and then we leave it at that. And Paul's not saying that. He's saying, you need to receive it. Open your heart up to who Jesus is and the person of Jesus. Let him come in. Say, Jesus, I'm yours. I believe it, and I love that story so much. I believe it's true. And I'm yours. Take me. I want to be yours. My whole life, my decisions, my future. God, it's yours. That's receiving this gospel. It's more than just liking the story. It's saying, God, take me. I'm yours. And he says, you received it. And then look what he says next, in which you stand. So once you receive it, it does something in your life. Like you're living it out. This gospel is something you live. You don't just say you go to Firehouse or you go to chapel or you go to this school or that church. You don't just talk about it. You live it. You stand in the gospel. So when sin comes and tempts you, you're able to say, I love Jesus more. No. Get behind me, Satan. Like, I want Jesus. And when that friend's struggling, you're able to walk up to them in an act of faith. You stand in the gospel and say, look, bro, I love you, man. Look, but you're messing up. Like, say yes to Jesus and no to the world. Come on. You're standing in it. It's doing something in your life. You're active. And then he says this third thing about the gospel, how awesome it is. Look, he says, in which you are being saved. You're like, but I'm not perfect, Rob. I believed in Jesus. I prayed that prayer. I love him, but I mess up. I know, so do I. Join the crowd. But he's working in you. Once you've accepted Jesus, say, here's my life. He says, all right, get ready, because I'm going to do some work in you. I'm going to build your faith. And when you fall flat on your face and mess up, I'm picking you right back up. And I'm going to grow you, and I'm going to work this salvation in you. You're not perfect, I get it, but I am. And I'm going to start picking you up and making you more like me every single day. Do you want to be more like Jesus? How awesome to be like Jesus, right? That's what Paul says he's doing in you. As you hand him your heart and have faith, he's like, let me make you like me. You'll look like me. Look what he says next. If you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. So there are some people, he's saying, that believed in vain. They like the story. Some pastor told a great story about an orphan, and they got emotional, and they were like, that's sweet. Like, I want that. And they had no idea what they were getting into. There was never a moment where they met the person of Jesus. There's never a moment where they looked Jesus face to face and was like, yeah, I'm yours. I'm totally yours. I believe. It was all like, yeah, that's a cool story. And Paul says some of those people, they believed in vain. It was pointless. It had no value at all. They didn't actually get saved, because if they had, then they would continue to hold fast in the word. They'd keep living for Jesus. When they fall, Jesus picks them back up, and the Holy Spirit says, hey, listen, there's sin in you, and he convicts you. If you're in some sin right now and you don't feel God knocking on your heart going, hey, that's wrong. If you don't feel any conviction from the Holy Spirit in your sin, I would say be careful, because are you really saved? Because the Bible promises that the job of the Holy Spirit is to be there. And so as you're sinning, he's going, hey, listen, don't do that. And he's convicting your heart. So if he's not there, maybe you need to meet Jesus for real, for the first time. And there are some people who have believed, but it's been in vain, because they never actually trusted fully in Jesus Christ. They just liked the story that they heard. He says this next. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Paul says, here is what I've done for you. I told you the most important thing you'll ever hear in your entire life. Something I have received myself. I believe it and I trust it. That's what I've done for you. You know what that most important thing that they will have ever heard in their entire life is? It's the reason why we do Christianity. People are always wondering why we do things, right? Hopefully you know why you do stuff. You don't just do it blindly and like, oh yeah, that was great. Why do you come to church? Why do you come to youth group? If you read your Bible, why do you do that? You know, why do you pray? Why do you talk about God? Why is this a thing? And Paul said, I'm going to tell you the most important thing you'll ever hear. I'm going to tell you why. And here it is. Are you ready for it? He says it next. He said that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. That he was buried. And that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The most important thing you'll ever hear is that Jesus died for you. He was buried. And he rose again and gave you life because of it. That's the most important thing. That's the reason why we do this. Why we're here tonight. Why we're talking about this Bible. Why there's a preacher on the stage and worship people up here playing music for us so we can sing to God. The why isn't just to go through motions of doing church and feel better. The why is because it's real. Because a dude who was God came down to earth as a man and died for you and me. And he's alive. He rose again from the dead. It's not just a story. And here's the best part. He's coming back for you. Jesus is coming back for you if you've believed in him. If that doesn't get you going, nothing is going to ever get you going. Because Jesus loves you so much, he did that. That's the why. That's the why that should fill your heart up and make you excited and fill you full of joy just thinking about your Jesus who said, I'm taking you as my child. No longer my enemy, I'm a child. And he loves you so much that that's what he's done. And look what Paul says next. I love this part, okay? He doesn't just leave it at that. He says, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to Cephas, I love saying that name because it's kind of funny. Cephas, sorry, I keep saying it just because it's fun. I'm going to say it again, Cephas, and then to the 12. Say it, it's fun. Then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are alive, some are falling asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to the apostles. Here's how I'm going to sum that up. Jesus didn't just disappear into nothing. People didn't just go, oh man, yeah, this guy, he was awesome. I swear he rose again, I swear it. He's like, no, that's not good enough. People took a spear when they took him down from the cross and they shoved it into his heart, and blood and water from the pouch around his heart came pouring out. The dude was dead. You don't live through that. And then they buried him. And he was there for 3 days, dead. And then when he rose again, he didn't just go, oh yeah, just go tell people. He shows up to hundreds and hundreds of people in front of their eyes. Cephas was one of them, right? And then they get to go out and tell people, you know what I saw? I saw Jesus. He's not still dead. He's not still in that tomb over there. Jesus was actually alive. He was here standing in front of me. It's the greatest news I've ever heard. The dude came back from the dead. He is God. And when he did that, he says, hey, listen, John Lewis, I did that so you can go to heaven and live forever with me. He goes, hey, Avery, I love you so much. I went to that tomb and rose again, bro. Like, that's good news, isn't it? So we can follow Jesus into eternal life. That's the reason why. That's why we do this. That's why we look to Jesus and say, you're everything, God. You are everything. All these people, you know, if you went to a court of law today and had like 600 witnesses about something, you would easily win that court case, right? 600 people come in like, no, I saw Rob, like he did this. I'm either going to jail or not based on what they say, right? That's pretty undeniable. Jesus had thousands of witnesses that said they saw him. They could testify to that he rose again, and he didn't just stop there. Look at what Paul says, this last verse. He says, last of all, as to one untimely born, like born way too late, because Paul saw Jesus way after these other guys, he appeared also to me. Paul saying, I saw him. My own eyes. I'm on that road to Damascus. And as I'm there, boom, this light just blazes out of the sky, burns my eyes, and I drop to the ground, and I'm blind for a while after this. It was so bright. And I didn't just see him. I heard the voice of Christ talking to me, saying, hey, why are you persecuting me? Paul himself saw Jesus alive. Now listen, if you believed in Christ, you've seen Jesus. Maybe not with your physical eyes looking at him, but he showed up into your life in such a real way that you've been like, I cannot deny you. I know you're alive. That's what Jesus did for me. There was a moment in my life, and then a lot of moments after that until today, where I see Jesus, where he's so real to me, I know he's alive today. He's active in my life. He lives. He hears my prayers. He answers my prayers. I talk to Jesus. The Lord talks back to me through Scripture and his Holy Spirit, and there is a relationship between me and God. I've seen him do crazy awesome things. Have you seen Jesus? And if Paul thought he was born too late, you know, because he saw Jesus after everybody else, imagine 2,000 years later, you and me, how untimely born we are. Like, we're way away from that. And yet Jesus is still showing up. He's here tonight with us. And I know he's knocking on some hearts. I know the Holy Spirit has been talking to some of you guys tonight, just as we're talking about this. And he's saying, hey, I'm here. I'm alive. I'm in the room. Has he shown up to you tonight? Is he knocking on your heart? Is he saying, hey, I'm right here. Will you let me in? There's something awesome about Jesus being the reason. You know why? Because it causes us to worship him. It makes me jump up and be like, God, you're real. Like, I want to tell the world. That's called worship, right? I just want to tell people about who he is. I want to tell them how great he is. I want to worship him. I brought this pew here tonight from chapel. I stole it. Some of you guys have used this pew probably before. And I just like, not that I'm a huge fan. you could come up here, you can if you want to afterwards. If you look at the top of this pew, it's all worn all the way across. It's a totally different color up here. The stain and the varnish has been rubbed off from so many people's hands grabbing it like this and standing up and rubbing on this thing. And it's left such awesome marks across the top. And some people would be like, man, it's ruined. These people ruined this pew. But what I see when I look at it is all the people who have grabbed this thing and stood up and started to praise the name of Jesus and worship over in that chapel over there. Sing out, God, you're good. Jesus is better than everything. And so what I see when I look here is just evidence of worship. Thousands and thousands of people who have stood up and said, Jesus, you're the reason why. Jesus, you're everything. I love this pew because I get to see those who have gone before us and how much they loved our Lord. You guys close your eyes with me and bow your heads for just a second. Look, I want to invite you to join those of us in the room who would say tonight that we have seen Jesus. He's been so real to us that we've given him our heart and we've given him our lives. And if there's some of you tonight who are here and you're like, man, I've never done that, but I know he's talking to me tonight. I know he's showing up tonight. I'm seeing Jesus tonight as we read the word of God. Like, I'm hearing the Holy Spirit and I want to respond. I want to know him. Would you do me a favor tonight? You don't have to move or go anywhere or be embarrassed yourself. I just want you to raise your hand up straight up in the air. Just quietly, wherever you're at, be like, that's me. Like, I want to know Jesus. He's showing up to me tonight and I want to know him like that. Can you just slip your hand up so I can see it? Yeah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Like, I want to know him. I want my sins forgiven. I want a relationship with Christ. Anybody else? Just slide your hand straight up in there so I can see that. Yeah, man, I see you, bro. Yeah. That's awesome. All right, you guys can put your hands down. For the rest of us, here's what happens. If you're anything like me, you start to live, you know, and then you get distracted and you forgot what you saw. You forgot the beauty of who Jesus was, that he's the reason why you're doing this. You're not going through some church motions or some religion, but it becomes that and you get dry. And you go through this long period of just dryness with God. You don't have to live like that. Yeah, tonight you can turn your eyes back up to Jesus and just say, Lord, would you refresh me? Would you remind me why you're the reason I'm doing this? I mean, if that's you tonight, would you just slip your hand up? You don't need to be embarrassed about that. We all go through that, but I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you'd be encouraged. Yeah, lots of hands. Anybody else feeling that way tonight? Yeah, thank you for being honest. Anyone else? Let me pray for you right now. Let's ask God to do this. Lord, you saw the hands. You know the hearts better than the hands, God. And you know that there are some in this room who are saying, God, I want to follow you. Lord, I pray tonight that those people, they'd get a chance to talk to me or one of our leaders and pray and accept you as their Savior. Talk through that and understand what that means. And for all of us, there is our hand, God, tonight. We said, man, there are times where we're just dry inside and we need you, God. Remind us why we do this. It's all about you, that you are alive and you're coming back for us. Would you overwhelm us with your joy? Will you take the most emotionless person in this room and overwhelm them with joy, true joy, because you're coming back? God, help us to live that way because, Lord, you're the reason why. You're why we're here tonight, and we love you. It's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.